Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians, and reading in the fifth chapter, it's an exciting passage that leads to the reconciliation passage, which we're not dealing with this morning, but it just sets us up for that very thing. So listen for the Spirit speaking to the church. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we were at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. This is the word of the Lord. I have a scenario to lay before you. The bulletin for this Sunday service was due Monday, June 11. It got delivered by noon. The process went something like this. I looked at the lectionary and decided I would use this passage. I was struck by the phrase, walk by faith, not by sight. And this became the theme as I was planning for the bulletin. The sermon was not written yet. I chose hymns that I felt would go well with the passage. And thanks to electronics, we're going to be able to use all of them today. The liturgy for the rest of the service was then compiled with the theme of walk by faith, not by sight. And so I chose a sermon title with eyes wide open. So thinking we can now see where our faith is taking and leading us. Confident of my Monday choices, I checked out my daily news sources on Tuesday morning. There, in several ways, the big story related to Singapore, where President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un had met Monday night. It was a short summit. And one reporter summarized the event, and I can't tell you where I read this or heard this, but summarized the event in this way, with eyes wide open. Who knows where this is going for Korea and the United States? But I wanted to protest. This is not fair. My sermon title has been stolen from me. With eyes wide open, we now follow the next steps for North Korea and the United States, realizing the world and North Korea are on the possible brink of something positive and peaceful. We're reminded of Jesus' words, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." I love what Frederick Buechner, a contemporary theologian, has said about peace. And I hope we can remember that. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of love. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but peace is the presence of love. Well, back to eyes wide open in the context of 2 Corinthians 5. For there we find Paul. He says, "So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." When we walk by faith and are, quote, "in Christ," unquote, we are given a new angle of vision. Paul speaks confessionally and with confidence. Prior to his conversion, he regarded Christ from a human point of view, according to the flesh, is what it reads. Jesus, in other words, he thought of Jesus as a great teacher, a fine moral example. But now that Paul is, quote, "in Christ," his post-conversion period of his life, it's all different for him. He is able to see Christ as a sign of a radical shift in the entire world. He's able to say a new age has been inaugurated. God has recreated the world in the life, in the death, and in the resurrection of Christ. I like what Will Willimon, a contemporary theologian, says about this concept. He says, "Christ has more than personal, subjective significance. Christ's work is cosmic. It's eschatological." That vision is a larger vision of being in Christ than the one we often consider as contemporary Christians, where Christ is viewed as purely personal, of mainly individual significance. And Willimon continues, he says, "Paul says that if one is in Christ, there is a new creation." He says it's not accurate to render this, "If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation." It's better to say, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a whole new world." So, in Christ, we have a new angle of vision, an eye-opening encounter with a whole new world offered to us in Christ. I'm wondering, is that what Jürgen Moltmann, prominent theologian of hope, meant when he said, we have attempted to view the resurrection from the viewpoint of history. Perhaps the time has come for us to view history from the viewpoint of the resurrection. Paul felt that when Jesus was raised from the dead, the whole world had shifted on its axis. Everything was new. Howard Thurman was the dean of the chapel at Marsh Chapel, Boston University. He was a grand preacher, a poet, and a very gentle prophet. Howard Thurman was also the grandson of a slave. He wrote about his grandmother, who was a slave on a plantation in that inhuman system of American slavery. Particularly, he tells about the effect of the church that the slaves attended on Sunday afternoon. The owner of the plantation apparently thought that it would do the slaves no harm if the preacher went down and told the slaves about Jesus on Sunday afternoon. Thurman's grandmother said of this old preacher that he hardly ever preached a sermon without going by Calvary. The slave congregation could always relate well to a story of a man who was treated like dirt, abused, beaten down, and left for dead. But Thurman's grandmother said that the old preacher, when he went by Calvary, always was moved to shout, "But God raised him again, and he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven." Thurman's grandmother told him that whenever the preacher would come to that part of the story, her spine would stiffen, and she was ready to live another day. That is what you call a new vision. That is what Paul means when he says that we regard no one from a human point of view. We know that person no longer in that way. Remembering our baptism, as I suggested this morning, lends itself to living a new vision every day. For in baptism, God chooses us. In baptism, we are made children of God. In baptism, we belong to Jesus Christ. And how critical that is to be able to experience that on a daily basis. I'm so glad that Martin Luther wanted to go through that ritual on a daily basis, and that we can follow that example if we wish. On a personal note, I tell folk that I have two claims to fame in my life. And the first is I married Jenny Miller. And some of you will remember Jenny because she was your preacher a year or so back when the Presbyterian women were celebrating the Thank Offering Sunday. And so she preached that day. She is a great preacher. A great preacher who lives the vision that we're talking about. The second claim to fame for me is that I had the privilege and honor of attending seminary with Fred Rogers. You know, the one from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. The one who's being highlighted now of Won't You Be My Neighbor, to see that film that I understand is at Burns Court waiting for us to take a look. Fred Rogers was ordained by Pittsburgh Presbytery to minister to children via television. Not all folks have been aware that at least as Presbyterians, that he has that heritage, and he was ordained to tackle that ministry. And you know, he had an interesting way of doing that. He had a way of living the vision. And he had a wonderful way of doing it without using God language. I think our use of God language sometimes separates us from other people. But I can tell you that what you saw on television with Mr. Rogers was the way he was off of television. Just this morning, in today's editorial page, Esther Cepeda was relating that one of Fred Rogers' sons had a difficult time at home sometimes with a quote, something like, "It's tough when you have a second Christ in the home." But Fred lived the vision that we're talking about. He welcomed children in the studio, on screen, in theaters. I remember that when he was traveling and he would be in theaters to make a presentation, children and their parents were wound around the block in order to get in to see that presentation. But he had made an impression on them from their days of watching. He nurtured people of all ages, just being himself. My friends, with eyes wide open, let us be open to catch the angle of God's vision for our lives on a daily basis and give thanks to God for providing that vision for us in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.